Well, good morning, Resonance Church. What an honor it is to be with you guys today. My name is Jamie, and I'm the student pastor of our youth group, Pulse. And if you're a mother out there today, I want to wish you a very happy Mother's Day. I hope that somehow during this crazy thing that's going on right now, all this virus and stuff, that somehow that your day can be made special by your kids or your grandkids today. And that you find that time, because you guys deserve it, because let's face it, us men could not do it without you. And I'm sure a lot of you ladies are saying, amen, or maybe you're nudging your husband right now. So what an honor it is to be with you today. And we're continuing today in our series, The Book of Mark. And I get the privilege today to talk to you guys today about fishing. Now, if you guys know me at all, if you know me on a personal level, you know that I love fishing. Like, no joke, if I could choose a dream job that wasn't a student pastor, it would be to be a professional fisherman, because I just love it so much. And I know that I love to go out with my kids. There's just something about the adventure, the excitement, the peace that you get to have, you know, while you're there. And not knowing what is below the surface, not knowing what's on the end of the line, that's just so exciting to me. And I love that. I love that I get to do that. And I would venture to say that if you've ever went fishing, or if you're a fisherman, you probably have a fishing story. Like, no joke. Like, even if you've only went one time, you probably still have a story, or you remember that one time that you went fishing. I remember when I was growing up, me and my buddies, we went fishing, and we was at a pay lake one time. And a pay lake is basically an oversized pond stocked with huge, enormous catfish, right? And so it's just us three left there at the lake. Everyone's going for the night. We're fishing there all through the night, which is what you usually do when you catfish. My buddy's across, he decides he's going to walk around the pond and fish on the other side of the pond. And he had these floaters on, which a floater is basically about a foot tall, big bobber. And what you do is you take a glow stick, a little tiny glow stick that lights up. You take electrical tape, you wrap around the top of it, and then you cast it out there in your spot, and then you can watch your glow stick. Once your glow stick goes under the water, that means you got a fish on, right? And so my buddy decides he's going to go down to the bait house and get some snacks and maybe some extra bait. And while he's there, me and my friend, we decide, because me and my friend were pranksters, right? We decide what we're going to do is we're going to go and we're going to tie our lines that are underneath of the water. We had some poles that were on bottom. We were going to tie those to the end of his lines. So he had two floaters out there. We tie them to the end of his lines. And when he comes back, he's sitting there a little while, and you know, we're giggling, you know, because we know what's about to happen. And all at once, my buddy, he starts reeling in his line, and he jerks it like that, and he gets up, you know, real excited, and then he let off. And he would just keep doing that. And then eventually, he starts pulling it across the lake, and his floater's moving across the pond like that. And then, as it's moving, he's getting all excited, thinking he's got a fish on. He's like, oh, boys, I got a fish on over here. He's so excited about it. And about that time, I take his other pole, and I'm reeling it the opposite way. So he's got floaters going across the pond. He's like, boys, help me out. I got doubles on over here. He was so excited and so pumped about it. And what he didn't know is that we were doing that the whole time, and we were pranking him. And he got so mad at us, but that was just a real fun time. And it just, man, we had so many laughs over that, and we still remember that story to this day. There's another time where I went out fishing. It was at a pay lake again, actually. And I had my pole propped up against a tackle box. And, you know, if you know anything about catfishing, like you're sitting there all night and you're trying to watch a glow stick. And as you're watching that glow stick, you just kind of start hallucinating. Like, is my bobber moving? Is it not moving? You just don't really know. And so I fell asleep, you know, watching my floater. And I wake up a little bit later and I realize, oh no, my pole was gone. My $100 plus setup was gone. It was nowhere to be found. I walked down the bank, I was shining flashlights, and I was just sick, you know? And so I thought, well, I lost my pole. So I end up just casting another pole out, and I'm reeling it in, and it was actually on the bottom, and I'm trolling the bottom, and I was like, oh, I got something. I reeled it up, and I ended up catching my pole that had been jerked in the water. So that's pretty lucky, right? Not only that, but I reel in my line, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this fish is still on my line, right? And I reel it in, and I caught a 20-pound catfish even after I lost my pole. So that's a fishing story for the books, right? Now, if we are Christians, we should be on one continual fishing trip. Our lives should be one big fishing trip. And not only that, but our lives should be filled full of fish stories. And I don't know about you, but maybe your life is not filled with any story at all. But in Mark 1:16, we're going to start with a good fish story for you today. Mark 16 through 20. It says, as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net in the lake. For they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and they followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them. And they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. If you want to come into your calling, you got to be able to step out of your comfort zones. Because what these did, notice that these men were doing the exact same thing that they had done their whole life. They were just doing it for a different purpose, in a different way. You see, Jesus wasn't calling them to be something that they weren't. Like, Jesus knew that they had fishing skills, and that he was going to be able to use those skills and those gifts to catch men from this point on. And so most of us coming out of the quarantine, we're probably going to be doing the exact same thing that we did before we went into the quarantine. You're probably still going to have the exact same jobs. You're going to be doing the exact same things that you always have done. And listen, the reality is that you may preach better at your job than I do preaching on Sunday evenings. Meaning that the way that you condone yourself, the way that you share the gospel with other people, the way that you witness to other people, the way that you show Jesus to other people, the way that you're on time, the way that you honor your boss, maybe even just the way that you treat your wives and kids could possibly be better than the way that I'm preaching to you right now because of just the way that you live your life. So I want to share with you today three things that I've learned about fishing. Just three tactics. I've got several tactics for you guys, but I'm just going to share real quickly with you three of those tactics that I have learned about fishing. And number one is this: be patient. You got to be patient when you go fishing. I know that growing up, my dad, I feel like he was in the top of a tree more than he was actually fishing. Because I would always end up casting out my line overhead. It would go in the top of a tree. My dad would climb out and try to get out of a tree. Or I would get snagged on something. He would have to swim out and get it. He never really got to fish. And now as a dad, I'm experiencing that same thing. I'm digging the hooks out of the trees. And I have to kind of laugh because I'm kind of getting payback for the times where I've done that myself. But what I've learned about being a fisherman is that you've got to be patient. And I think most people don't like fishing because they can't sit still long enough to actually see if there's going to be a fish on the line or not. That they can't even sit still long enough for a fish to find their bait. And a lot of people just, you know, give up on fishing. And I think this is especially true, as I talked about earlier, when it comes to catfishing. Sometimes you can be there and you can sit the entire night and never, ever catch a fish. Never get a bite. And I remember one time, my dad, he was working in Toledo, Ohio. And me and my brother-in-law, we decided we were going to go up on a weekend for a fishing trip to be with my dad. It was early March. It was when they have the walleye run up there. And if you know anything about the walleye run on the Maumee River up there, you basically go out. It's 30 degrees outside. You have waders on. You wade out to the edge of the river up to your chest. You cast out a little real bright collared worm jig and you let it float down the stream. Doesn't sound too bad, right? Well, you're wrong, because you basically have people standing side by side, shoulder to shoulder, that you don't know, casting out as well. Hundreds of people that are doing this at the same time. And you're getting snagged up with the person that is down the stream from you, and you're getting your lines tangled up. It's like, oh, got your line, and you're trying to get your lines entangled from all these people, everything else. That took a lot of patience to stand out there and fish like that. It was cold. It was miserable. I was frustrated. I fished 17 hours, people, and I did not catch one single fish. I was bummed out. But it took a lot of patience, right, to do that. However, I know that if we want to win people to Jesus, guys, what we got to realize is that it takes sometimes a lot of patience to lead people to Christ. It's going to take a lot of patience for us to put up with people that normally we would not be able to put up with, because we cannot give up on people when they do something that frustrates us, guys. We can't stop loving them when they're unlovable. We can't abandon people just because they have different perspectives than we do. For instance, maybe you don't agree with people that's Democrats. And it's like, so therefore, it's like, well, I'm going to avoid everybody that's Democrats, and I'm not going to witness to them, and I'm not going to show love to them. I'm just going to avoid those people. Or maybe people that you work with, you basically, you see them, you try to avoid them, you try to not even have contact with them because you know that they frustrate you, and you have no patience to tolerate those people in your day. You know what I'm talking about. Maybe you're talking about the crazy liberal, like, oh, they're just crazy. Like, their ideas are so out there. Maybe you're thinking, how could anyone support this Donald Trump guy? He's just crazy. He's out of his mind. And so what we do is we only go after the people that have the same type of beliefs that we do. And it's like, oh, well, I can tolerate this person, so therefore I can witness to those people. But guys, it takes a lot of patience. In 1 Samuel chapter 13, it tells a story about the Israelites. They were going out and they were going to battle with the Philistines. And as they're out there at battle, Saul, which was the king at that time, he was told by Samuel, which was the priest, the prophet, he goes out and he says, hey, wait on me on the seventh day. And on the seventh day, I will come before you go to battle, and I will, you know, prepare the burnt offering, and then you guys can go to battle. But wait on me to get there. And so the Israelites are terrified. They're shaking in their boots because they see the Philistines. They've got these big fancy chariots. They've got, you know, 600 plus chariots. They've got people that are lining, it looks like the sand of the seashore, because there's so many of them. And so they were terrified. And so what they did was they started hiding in caves. They started hiding in caverns. They started hiding in pits and cisterns and in bushes to try to hide from the Philistines. And so Saul, being the king that he was, he ends up going out and he's like, all right, I'm not waiting anymore on Samuel. It's the seventh day. I'm just going to do the burnt offering myself. And this was totally against what God wanted them to do. He was going against God's plan and God's purpose for this, because kings cannot fulfill the duty of a priest. And so Samuel comes up the hill and he gets there and he's like, what have you done? What are you doing? And he said, because you've done this, because you've went against God, your kingship will basically fall into the ground. And he did preach after that a while longer. But the reality is that his kids never got to experience the royalty that they had waiting on him. That his kids didn't be able to overtake the throne. It stopped with him. And then a guy that was after God's own heart was able to take over the throne by the name of David. But because Saul's lack of patience, he missed out on one of the biggest blessings that he could have ever had, because he failed to be patient and to wait on God's time. And I wonder what blessings maybe we've missed out on because of our lack of patience. You see, I recall multiple times pushing through the night when I was fishing. I didn't want to be there. I was cold. I was miserable. But I remember pushing through the night. And by the time morning came, I caught the biggest catfish ever. I remember those times. But you see, some of you have some big fish to catch in your life, right? You got some, maybe it's your husband. Maybe it's your kids. Maybe it's your mom, your dad. Maybe you've even stopped praying for those people because you realize, like, it's just not going to happen. It's too late. And it's, I think it's funny how the very first thing that God says in the Bible, when they describe love, in 1 Corinthians 13, the very first thing that they say when they describe love, you know what they say? Love is patient. If we're going to love people, we got to be patient with them. We got to endure with them. Even if we're mad at them, whatever, we got to endure with them. I'll give an example. My friend, one of my friends ever since high school, real close, and was best friends, right? He was basically had a very bad problem with alcohol since he's been probably around 18, 19 years old. Couldn't get away from it. You know, it started out as something kind of an innocent thing, and he just became addicted to it. He became an alcoholic. And it got so bad to where last year he had gotten his last and final DUI. I don't know if it was like four or something like that. And what he had to end up doing was he had to, on the weekends, he had to go to a jail cell and he had to sit in a room with other people, other men that were, you know, trying to violate each other, things like that. It was just a very rough experience. But it brought him to a place, it brought him to a place to where on Sundays, before he would leave, they ended up having church services on Sunday for the people that were in jail during that time. And so what happened was my friend has ended up rededicating his life to Jesus. He has now been completely free from that addiction for over a year now. He's doing great. And how you know that someone truly got it is I actually got a call from him, a message from a few weeks ago. And he said, hey, how do I tithe during this time since all the churches are closed? You want to know if someone's got a hold of God, they're going to ask you tithe questions during the middle of a quarantine when they're laid off. That's how you know someone's got the Lord in their heart, right? But man, you know what? I prayed for him for 15 years every single day of my life, waiting for God to move in his life. And there were times, guys, where, you know, he had been lifelighted. He had gotten several really bad injuries, things where he could have lost his life, bad wrecks he was in. And somehow during that time, God sustained him and God protected him and God kept a hedge around him. And I wonder if maybe because I wasn't patient and long-suffering during that time and still praying for my friend, I wonder if that would have ever happened. We got to be patient with those around us. The second thing is, don't spend all your time on the big fish. If you fish a lot, you can relate to what I'm saying here. Because when you go fishing and you're walking along the side of a bank and you see a monster bass just laying there, what are you going to do? You're not worrying about any other fish. What are you going to do? You're going to go out and you're going to cast in front of that fish. You're going to try to balance a worm in front of the face. You're going to try to change your baits up. You're going to use every bait in your tackle box. And eventually you're going to become so desperate to where you end up getting something with a treble hook on there. Just, I'm going to snag this big beast and I'm going to bring it in, you know. And you get so desperate that you do that. And what happens is all you do is end up getting the fish mad and scared and they swim away and they don't come back. So what your story ends up being is, hey, did you catch any fish today? No, I didn't catch anything, but I saw a monster bass. Or your story could be, man, I saw this huge bass today and it was crazy, but you know what I did? I caught 100 bass today. Because what I found is that if I start fishing for other fish when I'm fishing, the big bass that I was going after will realize like, something's going on here and I want to be a part of this and I want to join in. And what happens is I found several times if I'm going after and I'm fishing after other fish and other fish are in that area and they're coming after my bait, that other fish might realize like, this looks pretty good. Everyone else is eating it. I'm going to eat it too. And he might just come after your lure and you end up catching him. So you're thinking, well, what does that even mean, Jamie? Listen, one of my best friends was a big, big fish. He was a big catch for me. You know what I mean? Like, I wanted to see him come to Jesus. I wanted to see God move in him. I wanted to see God set him free from this alcohol. I wanted to see that happen. But you see, the reality is that I would have missed out on all of those people that I have helped lead to Jesus if I would have focused all my attention and all my efforts on that one big catch. And even if I don't know those people very well that I've led to Jesus, they're still significant in the kingdom of God. And they still have a story to share. Because God had to get my friend to a place to where he ended up hitting rock bottom, to see what all he was missing out on for God to show him. Sometimes God will do that to people, but we cannot stop fishing. We cannot stop going after other people just to focus on one person, because we never know when that person's going to come to faith. So what we got to do is we've got to go out and we've got to fish hard for those around us that are dying lost. There were, growing up, there were these fish that were, we called bait stealers, right? And if you know anything about a bait stealer, it's basically these little tiny fish, almost like a minnow or a little tiny bluegills, things like that, that you don't want to catch, right? They're annoying fish. And if you have a worm on your hook, you know they'll start coming in, they'll start beep, 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 picking at your worm, and they're just very annoying. So you want to reel your reel up and toss it somewhere else, and then they just come back. They're pecking at your worms. You know they're going after it, right? And that's annoying, and we want to do everything you can to just avoid those fish. I would venture to say that there's probably people that you work with that you try to avoid every single day because they're annoying, right? They're like a bait stealer. They steal your joy, right? And maybe you don't get along with your sister. Maybe you don't get along with your brother. Maybe you don't get along with your aunt. Maybe you don't get along with your mom or your dad, your cousin, a coworker. So what you do is you try to avoid those people at every cost. You see them in the store, and when you see them in the store, what are you going to do? You're going to walk by, and you're like, oh, I'm not going down that aisle. I'm going to go to the next aisle, and I'm going to avoid those people. Or if you're at a basketball game, you're walking in, you're looking for a seat, and you see them, right? It's like, oh, there they are. And you walk right by them. You don't say a word. You completely avoid them. But you know you've seen them, right? Right? You know you've seen them. Like, it's obvious. You've seen them. They've probably seen you. And you want to do everything that you can to just avoid those people. Maybe you're going out every single day and you're going to work and you just pray that when you get to that red light, that that light changes green before you get there, because you know that that homeless man that's waiting there every day with that sign or that's begging for food is going to ask you for money, and you don't want to even do that. So you're praying, God, please change this light to green so I don't have to deal with this guy today or feel guilty because I'm ignoring him. All they want's money for drugs anyways. All they want's money for alcohol. Those people literally just steal my joy. However, these are the very people that God sent his son to die for. These are the very people that Jesus died for, guys. And maybe you are the very person intended to catch those people. Maybe by you taking the time to have a conversation with those people is exactly what God wants to happen. And maybe you're the person that could change everything in their life. Maybe they're the next great evangelist or worship leader. Maybe they're an amazing Sunday school teacher. And because of your efforts, maybe God could use you in a way to bring them to the place to where he could really use them. Listen, guys, if we pick and choose the people that we want to see come to Christ, if we just pick people that's like us, similar to us, there's going to be thousands of people die lost and go to hell. And we're just going to let it happen. The last thing that I've learned about fishing is you got to be willing to go where nobody else will go. And I know that we used to go to this pond, and it was out in the middle of nowhere, right? And we would go to this pond, and it was like a 2.5 mile walk. You had to go through the woods, the weeds, the briars. Everything was grown up, which doesn't sound too bad, right? You finally get to this pond. But the problem was, by the time you got to this pond, you would look down and your whole entire legs, crawling up your legs on both sides of your legs, were ticks. Ticks were, I don't know what it was about that area, but ticks were everywhere every time we would go. It was miserable. It was hot. But you know what happened when we got there? We got all the ticks off of us, right? We still had to pick some off of us later on, I'm sure. But you know what happened when we got there? There was one day, this is no joke, no lie, we ended up catching around 200 bass in one day out of one pond. That was such an amazing experience and so much fun. But we had to go through a lot to get to that place. In order to catch those bass, we had to be willing to go where nobody else would go, where no one else was willing to go. Mark 16:15 says, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creations. You see, what I think a lot of us do is we just fill the banks around familiar ponds and familiar areas because all of our friends are there, because all of our friends are there. But the reality is we're not catching anything. We're not doing anything significant. None of us are catching any fish. And my fear is that if we aren't careful, we will become so surrounded by Christian people that we have no association with anyone that doesn't know Jesus. Guys, we gotta take the time out for those that do not know Him. And when it comes to God's kingdom, we gotta be willing to go where no one else will go. We gotta be willing to love those that no one else will love and no one else will care for. And I think that Jesus showed that these examples perfectly in scriptures. Jesus didn't take it. He actually went the long way around just to go through Samaria to sit down by a well and have a conversation with a woman that was an enemy of the Jews. And he told her everything that she had ever done, and her life was changed because of that. There's another time where Jesus goes and he heals a leper. And the leper was untouchable. No one should be able to touch him because you'll become unclean yourself, or they would consider you unclean yourself. And so Jesus went to those lengths. There was a time where Jesus went out and he healed demon-possessed people that most people were like, I'm not messing with that crazy person. You know, like, they're crazy. They're out of their mind. But Jesus went right to those that were demon-possessed and they became instantly in their right mind. Jesus sat down with sinners and he ate and he drank with sinners. Guys, if we aren't careful, we'll get so tangled up in our Christian lives that we no longer have any connections with those around us that aren't Christians. I want to read you this in Matthew 10, starting with verse 5. It says, these 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go onto the road of the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse the lepers, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Let's jump down to 16. Behold, I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. But beware of men, for they will hand you over to their councils and flog you in their synagogues. On my account you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they hand you over, do not worry about how to respond or what to say. In that hour, you will be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. You see, what the reality is like we're not under any kind of thing to where we go out and we share the gospel with people that people's going to throw us to the wolves. Maybe if you're in a certain position where you're not allowed to share the gospel with other people, if you're a teacher or something like that, that they've prevented that while you're on school hours or whatever, I get a lot of that. And maybe a lot of you are out there thinking like, I can't share the gospel with them. I can't witness to anyone. But what does it say here? It says, don't worry about how to respond or what to say. In that hour, you will be given what to say. Verse 20, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Guys, if you know me and you know my personality, I'm not a very good speaker at all. I just have to trust that when I come before you, that the Father is going to give me exactly what I need to share with you. That the Father is going to speak through me. The Holy Spirit will speak through me when I'm coming to you and I'm speaking and I'm giving you a message. I have to trust and I have to believe that and know that my message is not falling on deaf ears, because I know that God is working through me and He's working through my life. We can't be scared about what we're going to say, because God's going to give us exactly what to say. It won't be because of us, but because of Him speaking through us. These men were experienced fishermen, and they were called by Jesus to follow Him. So how did they go from their comfort zone to step into their calling? How did they get to that place? Do you know what they did? They dropped their nets. They dropped the things that they were holding on to. I wonder if the same is true about you this morning. Maybe you've been holding on to something, and maybe in order for you to step into your true calling, maybe God is asking you to drop some things that you've been holding on to. I got to be real honest, guys. I feel like during this quarantine that God showed me that I've been holding a lot onto sports, and I've been making sports an idol. Like, I'll stay up late watching sports games. I'll sometimes be exhausted the next day, and then I find myself watching SportsCenter because I want to hear what everyone's saying about the game that happened. And I just spend so much time that I've wasted watching sports, and I've got so wrapped up in it. I've made it an idol, guys. And I wonder if I was holding on to that thing. And maybe during this quarantine, maybe God's teaching us that there are some things that you are holding on to. Maybe you're holding on to some grudges. Maybe you're holding on to your past. Maybe you're holding on to an addiction of some type, pornography. Maybe you're holding on to a drug addiction, an alcohol addiction, and you just can't let that thing go. But if we want to truly follow Jesus, we have to be willing to drop some things. We have to be willing to let go of some things. I know that when God called me to help Resonance Church, I had to drop some things. I basically, like these men, I basically had to leave my family. I had to leave all my friends to go after wherever Jesus was calling me. I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know what Jesus was wanting to do, but I just trusted in Him. And during that time, my family was probably upset with me. My friends were mad. They were upset that God was doing this. They were just hurt that they weren't in church with me anymore. But you know what? I would not change a thing, because I believe I'm exactly where God wants me to be. Now, what I'm not saying is to go out and quit your job. Because just because you like to drink Dunkin' Donuts coffee doesn't mean that you should go out and quit your job and start a coffee shop. I'm not saying any of that. But guys, God has given each of you, like these men, He's given you certain gifts, and He's given you all certain passions for you to utilize and to reach people. It's different than mine. But Jesus didn't call these men. What I love about this story is Jesus didn't call these men to do something that they weren't good at. He called them to catch men. And when Jesus says, from this point on, you're going to catch men, they got it. They understood it. That language made sense to them. They understood it. He was asking them to catch men. However, what we know about this story is that this was a new normal for these men. They were living in a new normal. Guys, I don't know that things will ever go back to the way they used to be. And let's be honest, like these men, we're living in a new normal. Things probably will never ever go back to the way they used to be. But I think that sometimes for some people that can be a scary thing. But I think if we would truly think about it, we would realize that that might be a really good thing that we need and we all need shaken up with. You know, I think some of you have probably thought that your job is just a means to an end. And you go into your job every single day just to make a paycheck. You get up, you do the same thing every single day. You go to bed, you get up, you go to work, you do the exact same thing every day, and so forth, just to make a paycheck. But I think God's calling us to so much deeper than to just go after just a paycheck. Because when we go back to work, when we go back to normal, when we go back to this new way of doing things, the new normal, what we got to do is we've got to change some things. When we go back to our work and to our work lives, maybe some of you are already there right now, it can no longer be a means to an end, guys. Our work and the things that we do has to be our mission field. We have to determine in our heart that we are here to catch people. We can't, so for you, don't follow your career, don't follow after money, but what you've got to do is be like these men and follow after Jesus. And what He will do is He will make you into who He desires you to be and who He's calling you to be if you're following after Him. Maybe you're a nurse. Maybe God wants to use you to care for people like Jesus did. Maybe you're a builder. Maybe God wants to use you to build up and to raise up men for the kingdom of God. Maybe you're out there today and maybe you're a teacher. Maybe God wants to use you to teach people to love Jesus and what it looks like to love Him. Maybe you're a secretary. Maybe your role is to assist other people to follow Jesus. But we got to go where the fish are, you guys. We got to go where the fish are. I know just recently I've discovered who my neighbors are. To the one side of me, there's an elderly lady there that I noticed cutting her grass the other day. And I went out and talked to her. And what I didn't know is that her husband died in February. She's going through a really rough time. He went in for a routine surgery and ended up dying in the surgery. She never got to say goodbye. And so during this time, she's stuck in quarantine. Can't be around her kids or her grandkids. It's really tough. There's another man that's down the road from me. He's retired, and he's got a big farm. He goes and he hauls logs all day long and lumber to take to help another man get firewood. There's another man that's down the road that's an ex-Marine, and I've got to know him recently. And then over by the other side, our other neighbor, I talked to him last night, and he's going through a really rough time right now because he just lost his job. He had worked for Stanley for years, 62 years old, and now he can't get unemployment. He's having a really hard time because, you know, with everything going on right now, he can't. And he doesn't know what he's going to do. He doesn't know what his next steps are. He's 62 years old. Like, he's wondering, like, is anyone going to hire me if I'm this old? I said all that to say this, is that we got to get to know our neighbors. Because if we aren't loving our neighbors, if we aren't sharing Jesus with our neighbors, then I would highly consider that maybe you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus. Maybe it's not true for you. And maybe you need to find that this morning. Maybe you need to reevaluate your life because maybe you're holding on to a lot of things, your pride, whatever, and you're not sharing the gospel of Jesus. If we truly love ourselves, I'm sure so many of you are going and you're reading your Bible, you're reading your word. But how much are you sharing that with other people? The Bible says to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Are you loving your neighbor? Do you know your neighbor's name? We got to go where the fish are. Guys, there's fish all around me where I live. I didn't even realize it. When you go to the basketball games, when you're sitting there at your kids' basketball practice, there is fish all around you. When you're there at the baseball fields and the dusty baseball fields in the heat of summer, and you're sitting with people all around you, there is fish all around you. When you go to your daughter's ballerina classes and you're sitting there waiting on her, realize that there is fish all around you. When you go to your jobs, there is fish all around you that are just desiring to be caught. The Bible says that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And I believe that's so true in our generation. Guys, there are so many people that are lost and dying and going to hell. But the workers are few. We need people to rise up and to take advantage of their opportunities that they've given them. Use your giftings to reach other people. Our life, you guys, is one big fishing trip. And there's so many people that you come in contact every single day that's going to die lost and go to hell if you don't reach them, if you don't do something about it. Because you may be the only Jesus they ever experience. Are you regularly inviting people to church? Are you inviting them right now to join online? Because one day, we're going to stand before God. And He will ask us, tell me about the fish that you caught. Because frankly, guys, if we aren't concerned about our neighbor's salvation, we should really be concerned about our own. But wherever you are and whatever you're doing, we have to learn to embrace this new normal and partner with Jesus to bring His kingdom to those around us. I want to end today with these two questions. Who was the last person that you led to Jesus? And number two, when was the last time that you tried to lead somebody to Jesus? These are very important questions. And I hope that you'll really take them seriously because, guys, we're all called. I know certain people have evangelistic gifts and things like that, but, guys, we got a mission field out there. I always think that, you know, when we bring the kingdom of heaven to earth, that all around us, the things that we come in contact with on a daily basis, the people that we're around, that's our kingdom. And if we are sons and daughters of a king, we have to take care of the kingdom. We have to show love and bring Jesus to those that are dying around us lost. We got to get serious about this thing. We got to wake up. So who was the last person that you brought to Jesus? And when was the last time that you tried to lead someone to Jesus? Let's pray. God, I thank you for today. Lord, I thank you, God, for each and every person that is joining and watching this message right now. God, I pray that you would awaken our hearts. God, I pray that we'd be awakened to the fact that there are people dying lost out there right now. There are people that don't know you. God, I pray that we'd be waking up. God, put a fire in us. Put a passion in us, Lord, to where we are woken up, God, to where we can go after these people with everything that we have, Lord, and not hold back anymore, Lord. Help us to do that, Father. God, I pray that you would show us, that you would show those around us. God, give us the words to speak. God, give us wisdom. Give us knowledge, God, that we can share you with those around us, Lord. God, I pray that, Lord, that if there are those out there that are watching today that's been holding on to something, that's been holding them back, God, I pray that, Father, you would allow them to drop that. Show them the things they've been holding on to, that they can release that today to move forward, to reach those for your kingdom today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, thank you for joining us. I hope you have a fantastic Mother's Day and enjoy the rest of your day.